everyone. And as the kids go out, just take this as a chance to say hi to the person beside you, to see how things are going. And maybe you have done it before, but it's always a good time to do that. And if you have your babies with you, crèche is open today, but it won't be supervised. So if you bring your kids there, you would need to stay there as well. So it's unsupervised crèche, but parents should stay there, not just the kids, okay? So I think that's it. And again, good morning, everyone. And I would like to add my welcome to Johnny's and Pam's. And it's great to have you here this morning. And together, we'll be looking at the second part of our connecting series, two chapters, actually. But last week, I had a question, and was, what's the purpose of your life? We're going to stick to this question this week, today as well. Keep this in your mind. Just a quick recap. Last week we saw that we have been made to connect with God, and we've been made to glorify God. And I broke up this passage in four parts. Sin works against us. We saw it last week. And God works for us. And we saw it last week as well. And we saw that we were dead. But by God's mercy and love, we have been made alive. And today, we're going to look at the two other parts. The first one is God works in us, and God works through us. I'm going to read this passage now, and then we're going to spend some time on it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. If you have your Bible with you, please open it, or your Bible app, or you can just follow the slide up there. Verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Let's pray as we look at God's word. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the revelation of your word. And I pray that you will be speaking to us this morning, that you will help us to understand how we can be saved and what we have to do after that, Lord. Please give us clarity, and may your Holy Spirit speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Some of you know that I'm from Brazil, and on my primary school, I went to public school, and I don't know, like in different countries, things are very different, but in Brazil, there is a huge gap when you talk about public schools and private schools. And when I moved to the secondary school, I tried to apply for a scholarship in a private school. And I succeeded. I got the third place. And I was very happy. And I just thought, yes, I made it. Yeah, I studied hard and I got it. But as I said, there was a huge gap, an ocean between public and private, and it took me ages to understand what they were talking about, because maths and physics were things that were not in my mind at that stage, and like I was not on the same page, and it took me ages to understand like what they were talking about. And it gave me a sense of frustration, and I was like, oh, why did I do that? And we as human beings, we have this sense of this idea of having control. We like to be in control. We like to know what's happening. And like, if you apply for something, you want to know that you are the person in charge. Because I succeeded, it's just because I did something. It is good for us to be in control of our own destiny. It is part of our human nature. But here comes a question for you. What do you have to do to be saved? What do you have to do to be saved? Or what did you have to do to be saved? I'm going to pause here for a moment. Here's another question. How do you know that you are spiritually alive and not dead? As we saw last week, we were dead in transgressions. And maybe you were dead in transgressions. So how do you know that you are alive and that you are not dead? Here's the answer. Verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved. It is just by grace. Again, I could just stop here. Paul, when he wrote his letter, he could just have stopped there. It is by grace. People say that to be saved, in order to be saved, you need to do things. Because it is part of our human nature to have this desire to be in control. I need to do something. It's not nice just to get things for free. Sometimes it is, but it's not nice. You want to do something, you want to contribute, but it's not what Paul is saying here. It's not what God is saying through Paul. It is by grace. People say that we have to do things to be saved, like confirmation, baptism, church attendance, take the Holy Communion, do good things, be a good person, be a good citizen. But these things are not helping you to be saved. They won't add to your saving box. These are just works, and they don't help. If you were dead in transgressions, remember what we saw last week, dead people can't help themselves. So how can you do something? How can you do some works if you're dead? And now, in our human minds, we may think, but it's not fair. It's not right. It's not just. I have to do something. And even some people, they look at the Bible and they check some Bible verses just to help them to structure this thought. For example, James 2:24, that says, you see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. I can see some question marks here. Like, okay, do I have to do something? But it's written in the Bible. The Bible says that I have to do something, that I have to do some work. It's not by faith alone. No, we shouldn't take texts out of context. If you read chapter 2, you will understand that what James is saying, that works are just the evidence that you are saved. Works don't help you to be saved. But if you are saved, you should do good works. We shouldn't change the order of things here. Yes, works are important, but they are not the way or the cause for your salvation. And remember, we have been saved by grace. It is by grace. There's nothing we can do. Good works are not the cause of salvation, but they are always the evidence of it. Salvation is an act of grace. When I was around, I think, 14 or 15, I used to play on a band with my friends. Drum, bass, and bass guitar. And at the beginning, I used to play just guitar, and my friend, he played bass guitar. But then we decided to play our own songs, and he was the songwriter. And at some point, he didn't think it was fair, because he was writing the songs and preparing everything and handing it to me, and I would sing and play guitar. And if you have never been on a band, like whoever sings and plays guitar is in front of everyone, and all the lights come to you. And if you play bass guitar, you're kind of back here. And he said, would it be okay if I play guitar and sing and you play bass guitar? And I said, yes, fair enough. But there was one thing, I didn't have a bass guitar. I had a guitar, acoustic guitar, and I didn't have a bass guitar. And so in the beginning, I was just playing on my acoustic guitar, bass on my acoustic, but that's not ideal. Until a friend of mine, he came to me and he said, Rafa, I have a bass guitar for you. I said, wow. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say. I just said, thank you. But in my mind, I was like, I should do something. I should give something to him. I should give something in return, because I don't deserve that. Do I need that? Yes, I do. But I don't deserve that. Like, he was my friend, but like, I didn't deserve that. But I need it, and I still have this bass guitar here. And after many years, don't do the count, the maths, but yes, after many years, I still have the bass guitar here with me. And yes, I didn't deserve that, but I need it. Grace, God's grace, works in the same way. We need it, but we don't deserve it. There's a song that says, I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. Still, you gave yourself away. And that's the reality. It is by grace. You have been saved. And if you think in your mind, but I'm not sure yet if I'm saved, stay there. You're going to see what you have to do or not to do. Let's see. And then we come to a second part. We saw, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Just these two words, through faith. I have to confess that I used to struggle with these two words. And why? Because in my mind I always thought, okay, if I have to put my faith, I will be doing something. So I'm helping God. Yes, I need to do something. So James 2:24 made sense, that I thought, okay, I need to do something in order to be saved. I need to put my trust. I need to put my faith. So I'm helping God. But that's not the reality. That's not true. I was wrong. I confess, I was wrong. Because if you keep reading, you will see. I'm going to read it again because I want these verses to be in your mind. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And what comes after that? And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. The word "this" there is relating to faith. Faith is a gift from God. If you're here today and you're like, but I'm not sure. I've been coming here for many Sundays or for many years, and I'm not sure if I'm saved. What should I do? If it's something that I cannot do anything, like, how do I know? How can I be sure? You just need to be honest. Here are some words for you that you could add to your prayer. Help me overcome my unbelief. Help me overcome my unbelief. If you have been coming here for weeks, years, and you're like, okay, they are saying good stuff. They are talking about a savior. They are talking about this Jesus guy, and they are talking about eternal life, and I want that. I don't want to suffer eternal punishment. I want to be with Jesus. I want to be with these nice people here for the whole eternity. What do I have to do? I need to do something. No. It's just faith. And faith is a gift from God. If you're not sure, use these words. Pray and talk to God and say, God, help me overcome my unbelief. I want that. I want this gift. But I just don't know. I'm not sure yet. God knows your heart. I have to say that. He knows your heart. There's no way you can fake God. You can say, oh no, I'm pretty sure. You can tell me that you are pretty sure. You can say to Damien that you're pretty sure about your salvation, but you cannot make a fool of God. He knows your heart. He knows your mind. He knows what you do. And he knows if your heart is in it or if not. He knows if you are doing with your sincere heart or not. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's just one way. There's no other way. Remember, I was talking about confirmation, baptism, church attendance, Holy Communion, good things, being a good citizen, being a good person. These things don't help. There's just one way. Jesus Christ alone is the only way. Okay? And funny enough, I was talking to a person just 30 minutes before the service, and I had this phrase in my mind to say to you, that sometimes we go to funerals and we try to find something nice to talk about the person that died. It may hurt you at the moment, but it is true. And we try to say, oh yes, he was a good person. Oh yes, she was a good person. She did this, 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 and that. So he is with God. So she is with God. We always try to find something. Sometimes you need to dig very deep to find something nice about that person. Yes. But we always try because we have this human desire to know that our loved ones are safe, that they have been saved. When Jesus died, when he was on the cross, there were two guys beside him. They were criminals. And one of them, he recognized Jesus as the Son of God. He recognized that he had power. Remember what Jesus told him? I tell you that today you will be with me in paradise. He didn't have to go to church. He didn't have to be baptized. No confirmation. For his whole life, he just did bad things. I think, I'm assuming, let's assume that he did bad things. Of course, he did some good stuff, but these things were not the ones that helped him to be with Jesus in paradise. Recognizing who Jesus was what made this man be with Jesus. I don't know, I don't want to get into details if the today that Jesus mentioned was today or if this man is waiting or no. I want to be sure, and I want you to be sure that he is with Jesus in paradise, because Jesus said that. Who am I to say otherwise? He didn't have to do anything. He just believed in Jesus. He recognized who Jesus was. And that's it. It's as simple as that. Salvation is not by works, so no one will boast. I'm going to read it again from verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Salvation is not by works, so no one will boast and take the glory that belongs to God. So, as we were talking last week, no one will get to heaven and say, yes, it was because of what I did. It's because I was a good person. It's because I was a good husband, because I was a good, I don't know, a good citizen, because I helped people. No. No one will be able to do that. Because the glory belongs to God, and no one can take it from Him. Now we move to our second part. We've seen that good works don't save. And I hope it is clear in your mind. And if you have any doubts about it, you can come and talk to me afterwards. We can talk about it. I don't promise that I will have all the answers, I have to be honest. But we can talk about it. Good works don't save. However, let's see. Verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. But it says here that we need to do good works. What's wrong with Paul? What's wrong with him when he wrote to the Ephesians? He said that good works don't save, but we need to do good works. Yes, he did. Quick question. I want you to say all together and shout. I'm going to count to three. And just say your favorite fruit, okay? I'll try to find the most popular here. So I'm count to three, and then you said, just say your favorite fruit. 1, 2, 3. Okay, banana, orange, apple. I'll take apple. Okay? How do you recognize an apple tree? By the fruit. Like, I'm not an expert. And if I go to a place like with loads of trees, if someone comes to me and says, oh, here's an apple tree. If there's no apple, I would say, maybe. How do you know that's not an orange tree or a banana tree? No, banana tree is very different, but yeah. How do you know that? I would need to see apples. We know that a tree is an apple tree if we see the fruit. If we can't see the fruits, like maybe they are, but maybe they are not. I don't know anyone that's similar to an apple tree. Could be a pear tree or, I don't know, watermelon. No, watermelon is underground. But we won't know. We need to see the fruit. And here's the point. Paul was not wrong when he wrote these lines. The evidence that you were seated in heaven with Christ is found on how you walk on earth. As I said, good works, they are not the cause of salvation, but they are the evidence of your salvation. You shouldn't change the order. Good works come after salvation. You do your good works. So people that are not saved, cannot they do good works? Yes, they can, of course. We've seen many people in the world doing good things. That's not my point. Yes, they can help people, they are good, they offer shelters, and yes, there are many good people like around the world. But the point here is salvation. The fruit. So, here's a big responsibility here. If you are a follower of Christ, if you are saved, remember last week that we were talking about your daily routine. You wake up in the morning, you drink your cup of tea or coffee, and then you go to work, go to school, or stay at home, and then you have your lunch, and then you talk to people, and then you go back to your things, you go back home, dinner, Netflix, games, sleep, next day, and next day, and next day. Where do the good works stay? Where do they fit? From the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep. Your good works should fit in there. There was a trend years ago that was WWJD. WWJD. And people would have it on their wrist as a reminder. Every time they went to do something, they would look at this band and think, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? The good works. If you are driving your car and then someone just cross in front of you, will you shout, curse? What would Jesus do? Stay calm. If your kids piss you off and you're like, oh, I can't stand. I just see myself on that. But what would Jesus do? Would he stay calm? If someone needs help, what would Jesus do? We should keep it in our mind, not as something crazy that you all the time you need to do that. No, I'm not preaching this. But yes, we need to do good stuff because it will be the evidence of our salvation, the fruit. We know a tree by its fruit. And if you are a follower of Christ, you are carrying the name of Jesus Christ. And when people look at your life, they need to see Jesus. They need to see Jesus through your life. And what would Jesus do? Imagine if someone look at you and see what you are doing and say, I don't think Jesus would do that. I would be very sad if someone came and said it to me. Rafa, I saw you doing that, but I don't think Jesus would do that. Or maybe you talking to yourself when you reflect on the things you have done and you think, I don't think Jesus would do that. I'm not perfect. And I do these things when I stop and think, oops, I don't think Jesus would do that. And maybe I have to apologize. Maybe I have to change. These are the fruits. These are the good works. These things that we need to do. And these things will help us to connect with other people. Last week we saw that we've been made to connect with God. And these good works, they will help us as we connect with other people. People here in the church, our brothers and sisters, people in the community, people in the city, people that you love, and people that you don't really like, or even people that hate you. That's the hard part. When you need to do good for those who don't like you. But what would Jesus do? He would love them. So, what do we have to do? God gives salvation by grace alone. But God gives faith as a gift. God has prepared the good works for you in advance. You don't have to stop and think, oh, what do I have to do? Let me make a list of the things I need to do to be a good person. No, God has prepared these things in advance for you. So God gave us salvation by grace, faith, and even the good works He has prepared for us to do. We don't have to do much. We just need to allow God to work through our life. Because God works through us. God is the one showing us to do these good things. We're going to sing a song, and the line of the song says, "Lead me in your love to those around me. Lead me in your love to those around me." So, we should show love to people. And this love is the result of God's work in our lives. The way that God will work through our lives. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for all you have done for us, Lord. We don't deserve it, but we need it. And we thank you for your love, we thank you for your mercy, we thank you for your grace. And our prayer now is that we will trust in you, Lord. Those who are here and haven't placed their faith in you, help them overcome their unbelief. Help them to understand that there is just one way to be with you, and it is trusting Jesus Christ. And we are sorry, Lord, for the moments when we want to add to what Jesus did for us on the cross. We want to add to his sacrifice, because when we do that, we just say that it was not enough. Please forgive us, Lord, when we do that. And help us, Lord, to show our love to other people. Help us to show the fruit of your work in our lives. May we bless our families, may we bless our communities. Please keep working our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.